All right, here we go. Twice in 30 days. Don't get used to it. It is the 14th of January. Should I start over?
No, again? Keep it going.
No, yeah?
Yeah. La Tavola Marque podcast.
All right, we'll take two. Here we go. And chalk. Well, thank you so much for downloading the podcast. 14th of January. It is 8:30 in the morning. All our morning chores are done. It is a cold, overcast, cloudy
winter's moan
Sunday morning. So we thought why do all the things that are on our list that we should do? Let's do a podcast.
Sounds good.
All right. Well,
instead of cappuccinos, we've got a Bloody Mary this morning.
Ashley does. I'm getting over I was sicky this week, but not like I just felt kind of achy and crappy, but no like nose stuff, no cough, no stomach stuff. It was just weird. So I am not drinking. I am not an alcoholic, and I will not drink Bloody Marys this morning.
You requested it.
I said I wanted a sip. It's kind of like pancakes.
And
like,
you said you wanted to clean out the freezer.
Well, yeah, because you had all these bottles of stuff in there because you actually made Bloody Marys over the holiday, which I did partake in. But now there's like four bottles of vodka clogging up my freezer. And
a thing of ice
and all this stuff. But yeah.
So welcome to the podcast.
Woo! we should reset it for the 12 of you listening. Maybe one or two are new. So my name is Jason. That's Ashley. Together we run, own, operate La Tavola Marque, a tiny little agriturismo in the middle of nowhere, a tiny place called Piobico, Italy.
Jason just is being sweet about 12 listeners. We're pretty popular.
We're number 604 in Norway.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, 144 in traveling places.
We do this 1.5 times a year. I don't see how we could be popular. We don't do it. We don't do it for the popularity, man.
No, we just do it for the stories, for the peeps, for the podcast.
I got to admit, that is a good Bloody Mary.
I grew up with Bloody Marys, man. This is
because you come from a long line of functional alcoholics.
That is true. During the holidays, it was like, oh man, we were looking up things like, we always do this around the holidays of comfort foods and wanting to get like, a can of, the cranberries, like, and
I like crappy cranberries.
Oh god, it's the best. But get them in Italy,
it was like two cans for like 38 euros
plus shipping of another 20 or something.
It was like, oh my god.
Or we do it with looking up Crispex or some sort of cereal, and I was thinking, oh, what about Bloody Marys? And I found on Amazon a Bloody Mary mix and thought it's a lot easier just to do that than we can do all the ingredients and make them from scratch.
It's not easy to find Tabasco, horseradish, Worcestershire sauce.
Exactly.
These aren't things that are readily available just on the shelf.
So
I got the tomatoes.
I know. But man, this hit the spot. Bringing back those memories. Anyway, speaking of the holidays.
Holidays passed without much fanfare. We had Leroy.
As you all know, we were uninvited to Christmas.
We were uninvited to Christmas, and that uninvitation stuck. So the big boy, Leroy, got a surgery on the 22nd, so we were kind of chained to home anyway.
Yeah, Gaji and Rosanna did come over for Christmas Eve.
He had a, what do you call it? Gastro, you know the name of it.
Gastroplasia, something like
that.
They
put a stitch to connect his stomach to the inside of his body so it doesn't flip and kill him.
Which is typical bloat for some of these big dogs and other breeds too. But we were stuck at home. And anyway, New Year's also came and went. Nothing too exciting. Poor Piobico had their Presepe Vivante, the living nativity scene.
I never know how to say that word. Is it vivente or vivante?
Oh, good question. Don't listen to us.
Yeah. If you're looking for proper Italian language, do not.
Pick another podcast. That is pathetic coming from us being here so long and citizens.
We've been here too long to say that, but keep going.
But the weather was too cold. It actually freaking rained, and we haven't had rain forever, and it rained that weekend. So the Befana festivities and the living nativity scenes were lackluster this year, sadly.
Well, let's explain what exactly Befana is. So one of the first experiences we had in this area before we even moved here, we were just kind of passing through researching the area, was the Bafana Festival in Urbana. Bafana is the celebration of the Epiphany on the 6th of January. And it's kind of the end of the holiday season here in Italy.
But it's a big holiday.
It's a big holiday. And
as local folklore would tell it, Urbana is the home of La Bafana. And La Bafana is the character to celebrate Epiphany here in Italy. And it's normally an ugly old lady. Or some would even
She's
say a
good witch,
the good witch. And she comes and she sweeps your chimney.
No, she cleans up.
She cleans up and sweeps, and she's always on her broom.
It's not Mary Poppins.
A little bit.
She doesn't clean chimneys.
And she leaves coal for the bad children and caramelle sweets for the good kids in their stockings. So sounds very familiar, I'm sure. And Urbana, that first year, it was hilarious. We were just driving through, trying to head back to the little house we had rented. My sister was with us. After looking at properties all day, we have no idea what's going on. We're not expecting any festivities. And there's just like lines of cars and tons of traffic late at night. And we're like, what is going on? And
late at night. It was probably 7.
Yeah, I know it was. It's just so dark. It feels like it must be 10. And we're like, well, we don't have anything going on. Let's freaking pull over and see what's happening. So we follow the crowd into the city center, and we end up being there just in time for Bafana descending into the crowd from the clock tower. And it is like the big scene. And we were fill into this packed little piazza, and somehow we see, it feels like we're right in the middle, and the crowd goes quiet and the lights come on and she's going to come down. And I'll never forget, my sister and I start doing the like old school Arsenio Hall, like, and we're like yipping and yapping and howling and hooting and hollering. And everyone, it was like, looked at us, and it was, oh, respectful silence. We had never heard of this before. Come to find out, we'll find out more about that in the next story. But it was so much fun to see all these people out in this little town. And who knew we'd end up living here? I don't know. It's just kind of wild.
Well, for me, it really sold us on the area, because I thought, look at this like dead of winter festival out here. This is great. I don't know. I always remember that first happening.
And the market. And all of it. I know. It was great. And back then, the men in town used to dress up as the old Bafana.
I feel like they did it up more back then.
Well, now back it's then. Changing. Back then, in the olden days, in 2007.
But poor Urbana, they invest, these little tiny villages invest a lot of money in trying to put on these festivals, and they got, it rained out. There was a little bit, but not
nearly.
Well, also,
nearly. Italians are hypochondriacs, and if the weather's cold, or there's one drop of rain, these are like geared towards kids, and they're like, oh, it's troppo rischio. It's just too risky. We can't have the babies out in this. So, and then the same thing happened with the living nativity scene in Piobico, and that we learned respectful silence the hard way as well.
Notice how none of these involve me. This next one doesn't, this next story doesn't involve me either.
We've told this before, but we were invited to participate and to be, paper makers.
We were part of a scene.
Yes. And they take over these old empty, if you will, storefronts, just parts of the old part of town, working its way up to the top of the castle. And they'll have different scenes going on. Bread bakers, someone just sitting and having dinner, people making
wool,
basket weavers.
You get it.
Yeah. So we were paper makers, just but sit there with like our like costume on and pretend to like pound.
Which was just like a hat and a sack, like a potato sack, if I remember correctly.
And a belt.
Yeah.
Totally. And so people like come through and they just make their way up to see baby Jesus. And it's only lit with torches and it's so beautiful. It's some music playing. Well, when anyone got to our stall, I was like, oh, Giuseppe, ciao, blah, blah, blah. I started yakping it up to anyone who came by and would like, oh, hey, blah, 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 how are the
she
kids?
She was told not by the organizers, but by the people, people walking by to stop talking. More than once.
They showed me the program that said respectful silence, and we were never invited back. I thought we were a hit, but I guess.
Never asked to do that again.
I guess so many people are dying to be paper makers. I was really hoping we'd get asked back and like get higher up and closer to Jesus to some of the better stalls.
Low. Well, in retrospect, they chose wisely.
They did. We were like outside the wall. Yeah. We were the vagabondi for sure.
The pores. We were definitely the pores.
I know. So what else is going on after the holidays? Oh, it's full on hunting season.
Oh, well, now now we're at the 15th. Yeah. It's kind of wrapping up. But over the holidays, big time hunting.
Oh, my gosh.
The boar hunters, they hunt these big groups of guys in four-wheel drive vehicles, and they were behind the house a lot between Christmas and New Year's and came and dropped us off the back leg of a boar. It was a good chunk of meat.
They shot it behind the house.
They shot it behind the house, and they shot it in the late afternoon, and there's not a lot of light going on. So at around 7 o'clock,
honestly, especially right then, by 4 something, it's starting to get dark. 4:30.
Especially if it's cloudy out.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not going to be able to haul it out of the woods in time for dark, and they probably don't have the equipment to do it right then. So, all right, let's go. We'll quit. We'll go have dinner, and we'll come back after.
Well, side note, we're in the dining room, and that's we take over the dining room area in the winter with the dogs and all this stuff and stretch out. And I see all these, again, middle of the night. It was 6:45, 7.
It was not the middle
of the night. It's super dark. And all these, like, truck cars start, I see the lights start coming up the driveway, like 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm thinking, this is like out of a movie where, like, the...
Get the gun.
Like, well, are we about to be invaded? What is going on?
No, it's and the no, nice it's,
Jason
hunter
goes
guys.
Out, and it's the hunters, and they're like, hey. And they all have head... Well, you saw them.
Yeah, I mean, they're geared up. They got their headlamps and puffy coats and, mm-hmm. and winches. And I think that they had to... I don't know where it was, but they were in the back.
Because it drops into, like, the... Creek River Ravine behind the house. Like, who knows
where it was. So I think they had to, like, tie that thing to a log and hoist it out.
And then, like, Peter and the Wolf style, like, carry it out on big sticks with all the guys. Well, sure enough, the very next day, knock, knock, knock at the door, and they delivered...
A back leg of a young... It was a younger boar, but good hunk of meat. So what do you do with all this? I don't want to just stick in the freezer and forget about it. So I made... boar sauce in white, not red. I don't like the red one with tomato.
The white, well, explain what that means.
It just means it's more of like olive oil and broth, and it comes out, it has no tomato in it.
Exactly. Versus like a heavy tomato boar, ragu,
yeah.
It's not but that at all.
No.
And that's what's typical in our area. If you have come and stayed here and we went up to Aquapartita to the Hunter's Hideaway and had the boar pappardelle, that was the style Jason was making it. So it's got a bit of juniper.
Yeah, it's a little bit of carrot, celery, and onion fried in a pan, a tiny bit. It's not it's not like vegetables like a beef stew.
You needed some more carrot.
You always think so. It gets too sweet if you put too much carrot in there.
But they have more carrot in Aquapartita.
That's because the carrot disintegrated. I overcooked everything. That's like, you know how it turns into like mushy baby food, whereas Aquapartita, it's more...
You see the carrot,
you see the pieces. Then you throw in your meat and brown it up a little bit, hit it with some white wine, throw in all your juniper and your piece of rosemary and some... sage, salt and pepper, and then you just kind of let it cook. And once it starts getting dry in the pan, you hit it with stock. You hit it with stock. Not like risotto, not like a soup. You give it a ladle or two just to keep it moist in the pan, and you cook it down.
How long?
I cooked it down way too long.
Really?
Yeah, because it mushed up. Everything got mushy.
Oh.
I wanted it more
texture.
Yeah, because the pieces of boar started to just kind of like beef, like disintegrate into like shredded meat.
It was still good though.
It's good, but Rosanna pointed that out.
Also, there was a little bone.
Well, that's because
that's not your fault.
It is. They threw in the rib, the ribs, and I was like, oh, I'll throw those in for flavor. And the little tiny, the way they didn't cut it with. Dude, they're boar hunters. They hack it to death. So there's all these little pieces of... Little shards of bone that were... I should have paid more close attention.
I do the Gordon Ramsay to Jason and find a little piece of bone and go, damn. And hand it to him. And yeah, Rosanna was hilarious. She called to talk about it and find out, like, is that how it was meant to be?
It's all... she just wants to see my answer. It's so like, no, funny. I overcooked it. Yes, I know there's tiny pieces. You're welcome.
For the jar of boar sauce. For the jar of boar sauce.
So, and now... So
you made a ton. Well, it came out a ton for just the two of us.
So there's plenty in the freezer, and I put some in jars and passed them around the neighborhood.
He took some up to some friends up in a little... Borgo, a mini Borgo of Piobico. This back road, this crazy back road between us and Piobico, to get up there called Monte Forno. And it's this like six little apartments maybe up there. It's maybe more, but I'm not sure how many are totally restored.
Well, you say apartments, they're houses, but they divided it. Like it's ruins.
Townhouses, if you will.
So it's the middle of nowhere. It's really cool. But it's this little peak of a hill that over the years, mostly foreigners have restored. There's some POBKs who still have places there.
The friends of ours up there are Dutch.
But it's interesting going up there and seeing all the little I've never been.
I know. That's why I was like, you got to go.
So when I went up there the other day and delivered the jar of boar sauce and got to just kind of walk around because there's no one up there except these two guys right now because it's the middle of winter. But it showed me how if you have a smaller area, smaller square meters, you can have much nicer materials to like the way they
to restore it.
It was small, but it was cozy. And in the summertime, who cares? Because you're outside most of the time. And in the wintertime, it was just really like cozy. Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. And it was like, oh, this is gorgeous. And it's like you can never do it with you can absolutely do it. You just need deep
pockets. Lot of money.
But a place like Cacamone.
Our place.
There's so many doors. There's so many windows. There's so many of all of that, that.
Well, it gets hypnotizing when you're looking at properties online or deceiving because you might see something that's like three or four structures. One of them, it's like over 550 meters square total. And it's parts of it are a little bit's done, but you need to restore some. And some you could do now and some you could save for later. And the price tag's about 100,000 euros. And you're like, wow, look at all this we get. But there is so much work to do. And 550 meters squared to restore is a lot. And even half of that is a lot to restore.
It's never ending.
It's the money pit. But to see like a little 100 meters squared apartment, little townhouse, three-story.
It's a townhouse that's 1,500 years old.
I say townhouse because...
It's a building that they've split into two. So
exactly.
There's an upper and a lower entrance
yes.
to this big...
And sometimes it's two or three stories.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But people think townhouse is like connected.
I know. I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, that wasn't a very good job.
But it is. It makes it a little more doable if you're thinking of something on a small scale like that, that you could really do it up.
The other thing, the negative to this is there's eight different owners up there in these little... And this is all very small together. The infighting. This guy's nice. This guy's not nice.
This guy's stealing water.
This guy steals water.
His rocks to my park.
This guy reported me because I wanted to pave over this little area, and I didn't ask permission from the city, from the village to do it.
He's doing something to make it ugly or terrible. He's just making it look nicer.
Yeah.
You think you're just trying to beautify your little nook.
You're too close together. Like they're too close together. I like my. Out in the middle of nowhere. I don't ask permission to pave over the little thing. I just do it, and no one cares.
I think the rule of thumb is you have to be able to pee outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that means no one's around.
Yeah, they would definitely have something to say if I was peeing outside up there.
Mm-hmm. But interesting. It's a cool little spot.
Absolutely gorgeous. The views are spectacular.
Also. I know.
Monte Forno, a place you'll never go to.
But they're all over Italy. Oh, my gosh. Let's see here. What else is going on with coming to the end of the year and moving on to 2024? We should name... We haven't done this in a while, but a throwback to years past. I think we should name an Asshole of the Year award.
We've... If, Diehards to the podcast will remember back in the day we used to every season name an asshole of the year. And
it all started with the guy who left the water running.
Everyone wants to hear the horror stories of what's the worst guest you've ever had, and no one's terrible, but there are some standouts.
Should we tell really quick
past winners?
Well, the guy who created the whole contest.
The guy who created the whole contest decided he wanted
was a Belgian.
He wanted to wash his clothes in the bidet. Left the bidet running and flooded the whole apartment.
It brought the water downstairs into the dining room behind the wine, a huge wine shelf and
Whatever. It was a mess. His response was, well, you have insurance. That'll take care of that.
All the other guests come in and help to move the wine away from the wall and let it breathe. We have to call the police out to make a report for the insurance. And the guy stood there, just sat there the whole time and just never once said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Or anything. It was unfreaking believable. And the amount of water, you just could hear it dripping down, hitting the floor down here. It was, thank God, no damage really was had, but that got us inspired to create an asshole of the year.
We had a German couple who the woman was younger. They were young, and she was a real ball buster.
She was pregnant.
She was pissed because Ashley said it takes about an hour to get to Fano to the beach, and it took them an hour and a half. And
they were ready to
they wanted to leave, and they were very upset.
Want their money back and all of this crazy stuff.
Okay, maybe there was traffic, or you drive slower, or
we wanted to call the police on her.
Call the police on her.
Well, no, that's what people say. Make scare them.
She was just a bitch.
She was.
Other ones. Let's see. Other assholes.
Oh, the little girl.
Oh, this one stuck with Ashley. Ashley named a 4-year-old asshole of the year once.
She was New Yorker. And she goes up into, I show her their apartment. They're here for when we would do family weeks, and it's all other families here. And she goes into a room, 4 years old, and I hear her say, Dad, can we switch hotels? I don't get Wi-Fi in my room. And for some reason, this was probably 10 years ago at this point.
For some reason, this girl has stuck.
And it was also like, we don't even have Wi-Fi. Like, what are you talking about? You're lucky you're in Italy, little girl. What are you? And she wouldn't play with the other kids, only on her iPad. She'd watch other kids play with toys.
That was the girl that would watch kids play with toys?
Yes.
Oh, that girl
was
weird.
The other kids were trying to play with her, and it was so weird.
All right. Well, this obviously is stuck to you. Anyway, there's been others.
The nudists. That then didn't want to pay. We had to hold on to their passport.
We'll get you back when we get home.
Exactly.
We'll
get you and back then when Jason found out they were nudists, he was like, their butts have been on everything.
So this year nothing that great. We have two candidates. Okay. Candidate number one is a younger person who decided to get drunk and want to play a record on my antique record player, which is not a problem, except he just decided to take it upon himself to just do it.
I stepped away from after dinner, chats in the dining room. The guests were all hanging out. They'd had their dinner, their drinks. They're just
and younger, enjoying. Younger being in his early 30s, mm-hmm. not younger as 12.
And I go to double check the chickens or something, whatever. Make sure everything's closed up outside at night. And oh no, it was one of the cats. It was crying in the hallway, and I was like, "Get her out of here!" Anyway, I come back in, and the guy is futzing with the record player. Gets it all out of whack. It's not even plugged in. He doesn't know what he's doing. Ends up jamming it up.
Broken control arm. Thank you, asshole of the year.
Oh my God.
Thank you, asshole. Not a big deal. All you have to do is say, hey, I got this record here. Can we play it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, when I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, who does that? He doesn't even know how to use a record player. It is freaking futzing with ours. It was just weird. And then also the same thing of the response of more like, well, I'll send you money, I don't know. Just say you're sorry. I want to shame you a little because this was really weird. Who goes and does that?
I think that's what you were really pissed about.
Yeah.
There was no shame in his game.
Yeah, it was weird.
Welcome to 2023.
And it was like, you're super freaking drunk. Okay, so what is your candidate?
That's
nominee.
That's Ashley. Excuse me, that's Ashley's nominee. My nominee was over the summer, a 60-something-year-old person who decided to put his clip his nails out at the window and then chuck them on the ground as everyone walks by in front of the
So he was
kitchen.
In the top floor.
Yeah.
He was clipping his toenails out of the bedroom window, throwing them out the bedroom window, which just so happens to be right above the kitchen door.
As I'm coming out, I feel all this stuff rain down on me. I look up, and there's this fucking asshole smiling, and then he goes, oh.
No, you said, are those toenails?
I go, are those toenails?
Which That's is such right. a weird thing to even, like,
And he goes, think. Yeah, and laughs. Okay.
Jason comes in super freaking pissed. He's like, oh, my God. First of all, the guy should have never been here. It was a ladies' trip. And he, like, eight ladies.
Who cares about the semantics?
The side story.
Yeah.
Because he should have never been character. Here. Like, let the ladies have their fun. Meet them up later at the next
destination. Who does that?
What dude decides to join a ladies' trip?
No. Who clips their toenails and then throws them out the window on top of people?
And then Jason,
disgusting.
Jason's totally disgusted. The guy comes down for breakfast and is like slightly ashamed, but like awkwardly ashamed about it. It's like, so I did something weird. My wife hates it when I clip my toe, or she has a thing about toenails. And I said, yeah, so does my husband. And he was like, well, I clipped him out the window and they hit him. And when he asked if they were toenails, I laughed. I probably shouldn't have laughed. I go, no, you shouldn't have. It's gross. And he was just like, oh.
Interesting again. Never came up to me and apologized.
And he's the one. I think he's going to get the winner because he's also the one we think weirdly took the tourney, the
Oh, yeah.
The
Is that,
on
was
the
that
stove.
Them? Okay.
Yes.
We also, you know how that on a gas stove, there's four plastic knobs, right?
This is so weird.
We come in to clean the room. One of the four plastic knobs is missing, and it's gone.
Yeah, none of the guests had said, like, oh, we went to make coffee,
or
and the knob
you know
was
the
missing.
Knob was missing? Now,
or the knob broke.
This was earlier in the season.
They were the first guests.
Okay, they were the first guests. So there was definitely, like, come on. We're not going to miss a knob on one of the stoves.
No.
So, and there's no children here.
No.
We've lost, like, the plastic toilet paper roll, like for the
Weird
toilet paper
stuff
holder.
From kids.
Kids will take stuff and move it about, and that's. But this was all adults, so I think
that was his like
do you think he
token.
Them? Do you think
I don't
he collects
know.
Them? Do you think he's got a bunch of knobs at home?
I don't know.
All right, that guy wins. Congratulations,
yep.
Mr. Toenail.
Mr. Toenail,
we will send you out a windbreaker. You are the 2023 winner of Asshole of the Year.
Speaking of, who wants to book for 2024?
You too can enter into the contest. Just be yourself.
Oh
Just
God.
Be yourself.
One thing to never say when you arrive, speaking of yourself, is this is one of the funniest things we get like once a year.
It was a lot. It used to be a lot.
It used to be
more.
A lot. We will be your easy. We will be your best guests.
We're
we will
be
your easiest guest. Normally, it's whoever shows up. Check-in is anytime after 3. Normally, it's someone showing up at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We were just in the area. We'll be super quiet. We're really chill.
We're going to be the easiest.
We're going to be your easiest guests.
Here's the thing: the people that are the easiest guests don't have to announce it. They just are. just be the easiest guest, or just be normal. I don't even need you to be an easy guest. Just be normal. Just be normal sauce for the 5 nights you're here.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, good times. There you go.
But seriously, speaking of being guests, one of the workshops for next year is September 5th through 8th, and it's the Gourmet Getaway, and we are doing it the weekend of the Polenta Festival and the Ugly Club Festival. And this is the biggest festival weekend in our teeny tiny town of Piobico, and a great one to come to see. It is all yokels, just the locals. You will be the only ones speaking English there. And it is so much fun because the Ugly Club, we go ahead of time and they judge you on your ugliness. And I'll never forget when we first moved here, a neighbor, who we didn't realize who he was. We have two guys show up at the front door. We had just moved here. And we opened the door and they said, hi, we're here from the Ugly Club, in the Club de Bruti, the International Ugly Club, and we've come to assess your ugliness. And we were just like, what is going on? And Roberto, who is one of these two guys, ends up becoming a dear friend of ours, but he hilariously proclaims himself, I'm the Condoleezza Rice, I'll never forget this, of the Ugly Club. And it was like, what? And this was Bush was still president. And he said, I'm the Secretary of State. And it was just, it's something that always stuck in my head. They give you a little card, they assess your ugliness. And I thought, my grandpa will never be more proud of me than joining this club. And so for the September 5 to 8, we go to their headquarters. They open it up and you sit down and get evaluated by the president and or vice president or secretary of state.
Someone in the high cabinet.
Someone in the high cabinet, exactly. And then we go and have a polenta dinner in one of my favorite little cantinas owned by the pharmacist, and he only opens up this little cantina for festivals and special events, and it's just cooked by him and his family and friends, and there's maybe a dozen little tables.
But you're underselling the significance of the polenta.
Oh, well, go for it. You're so the
polenta they do is in the old traditional way in a copper cauldron over an open fire. They set up a little like teepee thing with the cauldron hanging, and you stir it by hand the whole time. You'll see a bunch of old guys sitting there stirring these bubbling cauldrons of polenta. And this is not the wet soupy polenta or wet porgy polenta that you would find kind of sometimes up north. This is they pour it onto a damp cloth.
On a table.
They wrap it up and let it set, and it becomes firm. And then they take string, and like you would cut a cinnamon roll, they cut slices. And then they put it into a casserole dish layered with this very rich sauce. And
ragu.
And tons of aged pecorino. And you eat it like a cat, almost like a...
And they kind of layer it. Almost like a lasagna.
It's a little casserole lasagna. It is... heavy.
It is very heavy.
Now, the funny part of this is they love to start doing it. It's to celebrate the harvest. So they'll start doing it in like August.
Which is the worst time.
There's nothing like sitting down to a steaming plate of heavy polenta when it's just hot as hell outside.
No, when you're sweating already.
Oh my God.
It is the worst.
It's the worst. I go, why did... We were at one of these... we got invited with Gaji and all the oldies to San Donato for Ferragosto. And we're all sitting there...
August 15th.
August 15th, just sitting there sweating. Just everyone is just dripping in sweat. And I turn and I go, why do you guys... Why do we do such a hot, heavy... dish
lunch
in such climate? And you would have thought I like said something about the Madonna, like,
yeah,
that went over like
record scratching.
Yeah, that didn't go over so good.
Because this is what we do. We've done it for hundreds of years. Who are you to change it?
I'm not asking to change it. I'm just saying let's mix in some vegetables and we can do the grilled meat and veggies. It's just... Whew,
it's heavy. It is heavy.
But in September, it's perfect.
It is,
exactly. Because the weather has changed.
And then at the cantina we go to, they serve it with the regular style, but they also do it in Bianco with porcini and a little sausage, or they do it with a lumache.
With snails. If you can try the one with snails, it's fantastic.
It's really good with wild fennel.
Wild fennel and snails.
I do it once a year right there.
You'll love it because it's vacation yummy.
Yeah, exactly.
What's
something
vacation?
You wouldn't have
vacation yummy is something that when you're on vacation, you're trying, you go, oh, that's not so bad. That's kind of good. You would, and then
at home, you would never
have,
that. You'd be like, ew, gross. No. but so September 5th through 8th, join us for that. It'll be a blast of a weekend. And also, I just added a workshop at the end of May, May 30th to June 2nd, a 3-night, if anyone's interested. And July, we still have some openings for the full house rental if you want to bring a group of friends.
All right, so that sums up the let's move on to what's going around here.
Exactly,
these are the dog days of winter. There is not a whole lot. Our lives consist of feeding animals, walking animals, entertaining animals, feeding ourselves, taking a nap, and doing it all over again.
Repeat.
But the projects have started.
The diet's going to begin after this load of tray of cinnamon rolls.
I made cinnamon rolls. It's Sunday morning. I felt like
making
something.
Can you say what the secret ingredient was?
Well, this was a recipe from the South, and they put lard in the dough for the cinnamon rolls.
So I was talking to my sister last night. I said, you know, I don't know if I've peaked fatness, so we're gonna do these cinnamon rolls and then go from there.
I'm sure it's delicious. Oh, anyway, it's better than Crisco for you. The Crisco's horrible.
Yeah.
Vegetables.
It's gonna be delicious. I can't
wait. Not good. Lard is heart healthy. Hello.
So the dog days, we went through the rooms, did the walkthrough of what needs to be updated and done.
We're going to try to get ahead of it and not wait until March to start making fixes in the room. I want this stuff done now. I want it done now. Whether we're going to do it, that's a whole other story.
Oh, we have to repaint the whole downstairs because of Leroy.
Oh, man.
He.
If you have a slobbery dog... And they shake their face. There's
no way to get it out of the paint.
No, we have to repaint the whole downstairs.
So thanks. Yeah, totally.
Living with a Great Dane. We have not slaughtered the pigs yet. It is. I didn't feel well last week, so I didn't really organize anything. It finally got cold.
I was
going to
say, and it wasn't cold.
And there's a whole lot more of logistics involved than just killing them. There's the logistics of. How do I get them from where we kill them to the place where we butcher them? And what do I need buckets and bins? And it's a whole thing.
Also, you have to clean the space that you're going
to
do it.
I have to clean the space where we're going to do it. We have to clean off the pigs. We'll do it.
How much do you think they weigh?
I have no... That's... You know what? I was going to talk to you about that. I want to get one of those hooks that has the weight on, you know, that's like a hook with a scale in it. So when you see them small ones for fish, but a big one, I want to know what they weigh.
Me too.
I would say 150 kilo. No, probably not that much.
I think more.
They came at 50.
They're huge.
100, 110, like 225 pounds.
300.
4 million.
They're big.
They're not huge. Like,
no, they're not disgustingly big.
No, they're not like
that.
Huge hogs. They're medium size.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten they're ready. I'm ready to stop feeding them. It's wet down there. They're tearing up it got wet now, so they've decided that they're going to do what pigs do and start
rooting,
and they're doing an excellent job of it. So plus there's other things we have to do down there, but I'm not looking forward to it, which is why they are still alive.
And we're getting the goats.
All right.
What other stuff going on?
Not a whole lot. Tomorrow I'm going down 2 hours south to look at a tractor. It's hard to find a mid-size, like a smaller size tractor with a front loader. I need a front loader. I need to move stuff. We're getting older. And moving things with your back is not such a great idea. We need a way to move wood and move.
Well, also with animals, hay and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. So going to look at that. We'll see how that goes.
Gaji's been collecting our garbage for his garden.
Gaji. I had a pile of like rotting walnut.
Sticks. Not sticks. Poles.
Not poles, but for like posts. Fencing. Post fencing for posts. But the bottom meter is all rotten away because that was the part near the ground. So I just put them in. You never know when you need
something
like that. Anyway, Gaji came over and that was gold.
Oh, are you going to use this?
I go, what are you going to do with it? He goes, I'm going to put up a fence. I go, but you can't. The bottoms are all rotten and the tops are kind of from the sun just kind of disintegrating.
Frayed.
So if you start trying to hammer them, it's just going to just crumble.
Right. He came back by like three different times and went to another neighbor's for some other garbage. And
like, dude, you're a doctor. Just go out and buy them. How many do you need? Like, he came by and grabbed like 50. How many? Okay, let's say they're $5 a piece, which they're probably not. Just go.
Wait. Also, what did you say about the little shed he was building?
What about it?
Something about all the holes.
We're tinning up the roof of his little. He just made like a little
like a little shed, a little lean-to
thing to like put the equipment under. He's
equipment meaning just like
shovels and hose and that kind of stuff. It's maybe a meter and a half high and like 2.5 meters wide with just no walls or anything. Anyway, we're tinning up the roof and I missed the wood. Underneath the tin, and it just came through. And he, God damn it, you're putting holes in my roof. Meanwhile, okay, I go, doctor, come on, are you really giving me a hard time? And I put two fingers through the rusted hole, you know, 30 centimeters above where I'm hammering it to the top. I go, you don't think the water's going to get through here? Why do I have to make more of them? Dude, go buy it. Just go buy a sheet of tin. It's not that expensive. Your roof is going to leak all over everything.
Oh, classic.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Good times. So the doctor, getting older, I think he wants to just have a few vegetables up by his house. I don't know. I don't know if this is a divorce or what's going on. He's not been happy in the last few years as I've not followed his
methods.
Like, I put in drip system. I put in annuals.
How could you?
Like, I put in annual things.
Well, you will do all your exotics.
That's right.
Does not support.
He doesn't support the exotic tomatoes. And then just to refresh those of you who don't know, an exotic tomato is just a tomato that isn't a San Marzano.
It could still be an Italian tomato from a different part.
Italian tomato. It's just not one of the eight that are very common around here. So.
Jason's left the reservation in Godji's mind.
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Oh, you want to plant in mounds and not in the...
Oh, yeah. That's another thing.
So
this is the big debate.
Rocking his world.
I want to plant in... They all plant in the deep part of the rows. And then cover the plant up.
In the ditch part.
The ditch part. Not the high part, the low part. The problem with this is I don't have a lot of soil and it's really clay here. So that ends up kind of like suffocating the plant and I can't plow deep enough. So what I want to do is I want to get a mounder, which makes these nice rounded kind of mounds, and plant in the top of those. So that way the plant has a lot more soft earth to go down.
And to come up. And the whole thing.
It's just a different method of doing it. That's all. That is absolutely
blasphemy.
Blasphemia. And I think that's why he doesn't want to do it.
I know, because
I did it with the peppers, because the peppers would always get I'd always have pepper problems because the peppers don't like to have wet roots. So they'd sit in the bottom of these rows and the water would just kind of sit there and it's packed soil where I'm underneath the plant instead of nice fluffy soil. And they would just have problems. This year I planted them. I redid it and planted them in the top and had more success with the peppers. So I want to do that with other the tomatoes. And this is very, very intriguing, I know. But this is what caused, I think, Godji to not want to come down and do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he does come this winter or this summer. I don't think he could stay away.
I don't think he can either.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. I got to go bake cinnamon rolls.
Yes.
Thank you very much for listening. Ashley's going to wrap it up for you, and we will catch you in 7 to 9 months.
Who knows? Thank you, guys. You know where to find us, La Table Market. Oh, so I'm trying to figure out where the next, like, marketing place is, because Facebook, not so much. Instagram, getting stale or whatever. But trying to – and not that this is some next hot thing. But keep an eye out for us on YouTube Shorts. I've started to put a bunch of our little reels and video clips on YouTube Shorts again. So keep an eye out for that. And I'm back on X. I thought, oh, what's more fitting? I don't know. All the newfangled. I'm not into TikTok, but maybe I'll have to do it. Tell me what you guys think, if you know where we should go next to market. But I know. La Table Market. LATAVOLAMARCHE. You can find us, like I said, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever, Instagram. That's the main one. And hope you guys are able to join us in the spring, summer, or fall of 2024. All right. Until next time. Ciao, ciao.